This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
Thank you once again for tuning in to today's broadcast of the Invisible War radio program. What a blessing it is to have you join us again today. It's also great to have Dr. Randall back in the studio with us as we continue the teaching from Dr. Randall's new book called Lies That Kill. If you've missed any part of the teaching from this series, you can go to our website at theinvisiblewar.org. Click on the broadcast button and you can navigate through all of the programs to hear any of them. Rob, these deceptive lies from the enemy that you've been taking us through have been so eye-opening. I can't help but to feel, as we go through each one, how many people have been deceived by these lies. And today, we're beginning the next chapter from your book with this new lie that many of us have struggled with at times.
This particular chapter, this subject matter that we enter into today, is so important that we understand it. And I submit to you, we'll not be able to understand it unless Holy Spirit communicates it. He is our teacher. He is our guide into all truth. So would you open up your heart with mine right now as we ask the Lord to come and lead us as we study this matter? Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege that is ours to study your word today. Lord, I ask in Jesus' mighty name, that every block, every spirit that's on assignment to keep us from understanding the truth of your word today would be removed. I ask, Lord, that everything that we have heard that has not been of you, even though we may have accepted it as truth, I ask it would be revealed. And Lord, I ask for Holy Spirit to come and guide us into all truth. Bring forth much fruit in and through our lives only for the glory of God. And I ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Once again, let me remind you to get your copy of Rob's new book, Lies That Kill, by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. Just follow the prompts and your copy will be mailed out quickly. Okay, we all need to listen closely. This is going to be a very informative program. Dr. Randall, you have a lot of ground to cover today, so let's get right into the topic.
We're so glad that you have joined us on the Invisible War this day. What a beautiful day we have to study the eternal things of heaven. Now, we began a new section today on lies that kill. We look at the lie, I'm doing the best I can. Surely God only expects me to do the best I can. Well, that sounds logical, doesn't it? And one of the most carefully crafted lies of the evil one, so often believed, even within the church, is this one. I'm doing the best I can. Surely God only expects me to do the best that I can do. This approach to life is one of the most effective deceits of the enemy, because it has the power to lead us into a self-reliance kind of life. I submit to you, as we study this extremely effective deception, this teaching may stir up for some faint memories of a distant past when our pulpits were filled with men of God who had one primary message in their hearts and on their lips, and that is the cross of Christ. Tragically, for many, this teaching will seem unusually strange over the backdrop of our accepted contemporary religious culture of today. sadly, the message coming from many of America's leading so-called evangelical churches is void of the teaching of the cross of Christ. Please understand, my intentions are not to point an accusing finger at any who hold an opposing religious viewpoint. This study, as you have already no doubt noticed if you have studied with us, it's not a treatise on the reoccurring religious debates within the church. However, if we are to walk in the freedom of Christ, we can ill afford to ignore the enemy's lies that so often lead us into the many dangerous places of spiritual compromise. Please continue the journey with me today as we study the scriptures together concerning the lie, "I'm doing the best I can." Surely, God only expects me to do the best I can. At the moment the enemy can get us to base our lives on his lies, his deceptions will have led us down to a road that always leads us to destruction and, yes, death. Remember, Jesus said of Satan that he was a murderer from the beginning, John 8:44. We know that the devil's ultimate intention is to steal and to kill and to destroy in John 10:10. And in 1 Peter 5:8, we find these words, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." It is clear from the teachings of Scripture that Satan is out to kill us. Satan's work is about deception. He is the arch deceiver. All that he does, all of his schemes, his murderous schemes, are perpetrated to cause us to believe his lies instead of the truth of God. Jesus said of the devil in John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Deception is Satan's main strategy of control and ultimate weapon of defeat. Remember, in John 8:32, Jesus tells us, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You and I must believe God, no matter how convincing Satan's arguments appear. Watchman Nee said of the enemy's lies, "A skillful liar lies not only in word, but also in gesture and in deed. He can easily pass a bad coin as tell an untruth." The devil is a skillful liar, and we cannot expect him to stop at words and his lying. He will resort to lying signs, lying feelings, and experiences in an attempt to shake us from our faith in God's Word. As soon as we have accepted our death with Christ as a fact, Satan will do his best to demonstrate convincingly by the evidence of our day-to-day experience, our circumstances, that we are not dead at all, but very much alive. So we must choose. Are we going to be governed by appearances, by our circumstances, or by the Word of God? In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossian church, we find these words of great warning in Colossians 2:8-10. "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete, and he is head over all rule and authority." The word philosophy here means the love of wisdom. However, in this context, Paul is clearly defining the word as the love of the world's wisdom, the world's thinking, the way of thinking that comes from the world. Empty deception and the traditions of men clearly indicate the dangers of being deceived by the wisdom and thought processes of the world. The Word of God admonishes us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Hear it with your heart. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. You know, the statement, I'm doing the best I can, reminds me of an old joke my father used to tell. A doctor was asked, how did the operation go, Doc? He replied, the operation was a great success, but the patient died. Many determine the success of their lives on the basis of a faulty standard crafted and offered to them by the god of this world, Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that Satan is in fact the god of this world. Now, do not be mistaken. It's only for a season. It's only for a short time. He's on a short leash, but he is the god of this world and its systems and its way of thinking. The idea that all we are to do is our best is based on two extremely dangerous assumptions. Number one, my best is all I can do. And number two, since my best is all I can do, God only expects me to do the best I can. Let's take each one of these assumptions and see what the Bible has to say today to our hearts about this matter of just doing our best. I want us to look today at true righteousness. Why is the necessity of the cross of Christ so important for us to understand? In Paul Bilheimer's wonderful book on the ultimate purpose of creation called Destined for the Throne, he helps us understand the centrality of the cross of Christ in our faith. And I quote, it is vitally important for every believer to know with absolute certainty that Calvary was an unalterable, glorious triumph. Unless the believer fully understands and is immutably convinced of the infallible basis of his faith, he will be hampered by misgivings and will be unable to exercise his authority over Satan. Understanding the foundations of the authentic Christian life comes only through understanding the scope of what happened on the cross. What happened when Jesus died for you and for me at Calvary. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, would you hear the word with your heart? Since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. The scriptures teach that all of our righteousness is filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. The stark reality is this, the very best we can do on our own is fail. The fact is, the best we can do on our own is less. It is less than what God has in his heart for us. The best we can do on our own is simply fail. Put it another way, if the best we can do is based on only what we can do, then all we can expect is the result of what we can do, which of course is a failure to achieve God's expectations. Our best, your best, my best, always falls short, far short of the expectations in the heart of the one who created us for his glory. Romans 3:10, would you hear it with your heart? As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. In and of the flesh, there is no good thing. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, puts it this way, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, Romans 7:18. That's why Jesus died for us. He died for us in the flesh. Since he was God, he could have done it another way. He could have, but he didn't. He came in the flesh because he had to die in the flesh. He had to die in the flesh so that our flesh would also die in him. Understand this, friend. The key to spiritual victory in our lives is based upon the cross of Christ. He gave his life so that we can live, not in ourselves, but in him. So that we can live not in our power, but in his power. If we continue to seek life in our own power and strength, then that's all we'll end up with. A life of limited power and strength. If we live our lives based upon the sacrificial life of Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead, then we receive his life of limitless power and strength. In his classic book, Calvary Road, Roy Hessian speaks to us concerning the nature and dangers of living a self-centered, self-controlled, or self-empowered life. I quote, "Anything that springs from self, however small it may be, is sin. Self-energy or self-complacency in service is sin. Self-pity in trials and difficulties, self-seeking in business or Christian work, self-indulgence in one's spare time, being too sensitive or touchy, resentment and self-defense when we are hurt or injured by others, self-consciousness, reserve, worry, fear, all spring from self, and all are sin and make our cups unclean." Matthew 20, verse 22 and 23. All of them, all of our sin, all of our flesh, all of our self-centered stuff were put into that cup, that other cup, which the Lord Jesus shrank from momentarily in Gethsemane, but which he drank to the dregs at Calvary, the cup of our sin. Please hear this today, dear friend. Jesus died in the flesh for the purpose of killing it. Now that we live in him, the flesh can and must be crucified in us. No one can earn a place in the cross of Christ. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Man had nothing to do with it, nothing to do with the work on Calvary, a work that provides a covering for his sin. Man did not accomplish it. God accomplished it in Jesus for us. God did it all. Man cannot earn it, but he must, to possess it, receive it. In 1983, my wife and I had the wonderful privilege of traveling to the Netherlands to attend the International Conference for Itinerant Evangelists. It was a gathering of evangelicals from all around the world for the purpose of training, of networking, and great spiritual encouragement. Each participant attended through the invitation from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Of the many amazing highlights of the conference, none was more exciting to me than to be introduced to Dr. J. Edwin Orr by my father, who was also attending the conference with us at the time. Dr. Orr is considered a spiritual giant in his understanding of revival and spiritual awakening. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but in his book, My All, His All, Dr. Orr explains how it is that man has no part in the work of the cross, but simply to receive the gift of God's forgiveness. And I quote Dr. Orr, "No one who is familiar with the scriptures will dispute the fact that the ground of forgiveness is the cross, though there are many who overlook the fact, nor will any insist that there is a price the unregenerate can pay. It cannot be bought or earned or bargained for. No one is forgiven merely on the ground of his conversion experience, for there have been outstanding instances of non-Christian conversions to righteous living, such as Mahatma Gandhi. The ground of forgiveness is the finished work of Christ on the cross. It is all a gift from God to anyone who will receive Christ as his or her Savior. Now we will pick up our study next time on this so significant study of this particular lie. As you can already see, how crucial this study really is, how significant it is to understand that it is Christ who gives us life. That the idea that somehow that we give him our lives so that he can just bless it is not the message of the cross at all. He gives us his life. He wants us to come to the end of our lives. This is so crucial. I hope you're praying for me. I hope everyone out there, you're lifting a prayer up for me as we study this most important truth that we'll continue and pick up next time.
And we do look forward to having you join us again next week here on the program as we continue our study on this topic. Let me encourage you, we depend on your financial support in order to bring the program to you each week. I know you may hear this a lot, but for us, it is very true. We do depend on your financial support to be able to broadcast this program here on this station. And if you have been blessed by this ministry, now would be a perfect time to get on board with your financial partnership. Please call us with your generous gift at 1-877-808-8886. That's 877-808-8886. You can also go to our website to make your contribution today, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. And thank you in advance for your generosity. Dr. Randall, I knew this would be a very important topic that we have launched out in today. As you have clearly said, it is not about our efforts, it's about the cross. So will you take time in these closing moments to pray with us, to lock in what we have learned today?
One of the great joys of my life is to be able to pray with you. Would you make an altar right where you are? The Lord knows our hearts. Words are not magic. But I want us to pray. If you've never received Christ as Savior, if you've never come to understand and receive the gift of salvation, it's a gift. You can't earn it. It's a gift. If you are to possess it, if I am to possess it, we must receive it. Pray this prayer with me right now, right where you are. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. That's right. Pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that you love me. Because you died for me. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. And if the Lord is speaking to you today about cleansing your mind and heart from lies that you have believed, would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I know that you want me to face the truth. And tell the truth and believe the truth, trust the truth, and live in accordance with your truth. Thank you that it is the truth that sets me free. I now know I have been deceived by Satan, the father of lies. Through believing his lies, I have deceived myself as well. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by virtue of his shed blood and resurrection, asking you to rebuke all of Satan's demons that are deceiving me. I have trusted in Jesus alone to save me, and so I am your forgiven child. Therefore, since you accept me just as I am in Christ, I can be free to face my sin and not try to hide. I ask for Holy Spirit to guide me into all truth. Would you pray this Psalm 139, 23 and 24? Pray it with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth, I pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you prayed with me today, would you let me know it? Would you email me through our website, theinvisiblewar.org? That's theinvisiblewar.org. Or you can call me toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for the privilege that has been ours today to share this wonderful time around the things of heaven. And we look forward to meeting with you again next time as we continue this most important study on lies that kill, right here on The Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.